This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Natalie Payne, District Attorney for the Augusta Judicial Circuit, is joining us on the hotline to talk about the tragedy at First Love Assisted Living Facility. And that's kind of a creepy name. I didn't think about it. But two individuals, two elderly women, found dead in the facility. And there was concern because of the physical condition of the two women when they were discovered that there may have been some physical abuse going on. I guess we can ask Natalie Payne right off the bat. Natalie, thanks for joining us. Has there been any indication that other than neglect that these two women were harmed in any way, shape, or form?
Not that I'm aware of at this point.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I am absolutely floored at what I read. 130 degrees coming out of the vents in that house?
That's right. That's correct.
How does that happen? I mean, was the heat stuck on? I mean, what was going on?
That's one of the things that we are trying to figure out. We did have HVAC people come back out on Monday to try to figure out exactly how it was, you know, that they were able to get that temperature up. And it appears as though at least the thermostat may have been broken or, you know, I mean, it just wasn't working properly because the AC unit was set on 70, but there was at least one recording of 138-degree air coming out of the vent.
Which means if the air con- – I mean, it not only was the air conditioner not on, it sounds like the heat was on.
Right, right, because the heat – you know, it was kind of chilly that weekend, and I believe the heat was turned on at some point, maybe on Friday.
So the heat was turned on 70. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yes, yeah, I'm sorry, and I apologize. The heat was turned on – some point on Friday, and it appears as though maybe, you know, that had been the first time the heat had been turned on in quite a while. And so, but the thermostat was basically just malfunctioned.
Can you describe the nature of the CAVE task force? Because I think there are some folks in the community that don't understand either what it is or what it does.
Sure. So we basically provide kind of a supplementary resource for law enforcement. By the way,
what does it stand for? CAVE.
The Crimes Against the Vulnerable and Elderly.
Crimes Against Vulnerable and Elderly. And this is not a task force or a unit that travels around like the crime suppression team does. You are a resource that people pick up the phone and call saying, oh, we're concerned about a problem. Can you help us look into it?
Right. It's kind of like a liaison between. There's a lot of agencies that are designed to deal with places like personal care homes, you know, there's adult protective services. There's also the facilities regulator for the state, the Department of Behavioral Health. And so basically it could be anything from a financial situation to, you know, even an abuse scenario. But basically we have to be able to obtain the documentation from these different places. And it might be something as simple as getting the facilities regulator to go out there and just do an inspection for that facility to continue to have a license. But basically everyone on the CAVE task force just has specialized training in spotting these issues and then obtaining the necessary information so that the case could be prosecuted if that becomes necessary.
What is the, whose jurisdiction does this assisted living facility fall under as far as compliance and checking up for violations, things of this nature? Because from what I've seen, what I've heard, this facility had been cited in the past for some pretty serious issues.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different organs or agencies. I mean, you've got, obviously, the city does their business license, and in order to get a state license, they have to have certain inspections done by, for example, the fire department. And then there's also... for the state license, you know, there's some state agencies, you know, for example, that like Adult Protective Services or places that fall underneath that umbrella of Georgia state government that would all be able to kind of determine whether or not they can have an actual state license.
And if I think, again, some people are thinking that because they had been reported in the past that somebody in the sheriff's department or the DA's office was sticking their head in the door and inspecting them every so often to make sure they were complying. And that's not your place. That's not what you do.
No, that's right. We basically, there's some regulations that they were in violation of, and that's what we were mainly reporting to, like, the Division of Aging Services or the Department of Human Services. But, you know, violating a regulation would just affect their license. It's not necessarily a criminal, obviously, a criminal offense. So when we report stuff, it might be from people that, you know, in one instance, it was someone from the hospital that had mentioned it to the ambulance service saying that, hey, this particular patient came in with a bad bed bug infestation. And, you know, that was just information that we relayed. Because it's not necessarily a criminal. I mean, obviously, people get bed bugs every now and again.
Well, and that's key here. That's key. It's not criminal to get bed bugs. It's criminal to knowingly leave somebody in a bed with bed bugs.
Right, and not do anything about it. And so that was a couple of the reports that we had made. Additionally, there was some financial stuff, you know, that had been flagged. And we were making, you know, Social Security is obviously a federal agency. So we have established contacts with people in Social Security, but, I mean, I'm not a federal agency. So we don't have jurisdiction to necessarily prosecute or obtain, I mean, that information. We have to kind of have compliance from Social Security voluntarily almost.
And that would be Medicare and Medicaid fraud or issues.
Right.
Gotcha.
That's right. And that would all have been the stuff that was going on during the pandemic. And so basically what was relayed back to us is, you know, we're not doing face-to-face inspections or, you know, basically kind of waiting until COVID was over with before we would go in. Now, if it was a physical abuse or something where we felt like someone's life was in danger necessarily, we would have acted on that. But in this particular scenario, all of the allegations that we were relaying to the various state agencies and even the city were basically regulation violations.
So, it's heartbreaking whenever anyone at risk is victimized in such a way or allowed to die under such horrible conditions. But how many, any idea off the top of your head, how many staff members were supposed to be present in this building? How does anyone tolerate 130 degrees? The heck with 130, 100 or 90 for that. If I'm in a house and it's over 85 degrees, I'm standing on my head trying to do something. What the hell was going on with the staff?
So there was one person present, and that was all that would have been required for a personal care home is not a nursing home. So they can, you know, perform basic functions on their own, but they just need some general assistance with some stuff in their lab. So the staff member was actually the one that that alerted, you know, 911 or called 911, excuse me. And apparently that particular issue is still being looked into, but there was someone there with them to the best of our knowledge.
Why did they wait so long to call?
I do not know. And the reason that they called was to report that one of the residents was, you know, unresponsive.
That a death had occurred. And so that call went to an ambulance. It did not go to law enforcement.
Well, she called 911, and the dispatcher walked her through performing CPR.
Well, what I understand, I guess the thing people need to understand is the ambulance shows up, the paramedics show up, and they go, oh, my God, and they're the ones that called the cops.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would be normal. You know, if there's somebody unresponsive, you know, anytime you have a deceased person, they're going to call for law enforcement anyway, but yeah.
I don't understand, though, again, the person that was at the home. I mean... I've actually stood at my thermostat hitting buttons, not getting a response. So that much I understand. But here's what I do next. I go to the breaker box and turn the damn air conditioning unit off at the breaker box. I mean, that's what you do if it's out of control. And I did have a problem a couple of years ago. The thermostat went out, the entire unit. And before the folks from Duggan could get there, I could sit there and suffer with, you know, hot air blowing out of the thing. Or I'd go over to the breaker box, boom, hit a button and zip bang, it turns off. Why didn't somebody do that?
That's a great question. That's one of the things that you know, they are looking into. Unfortunately, I do not have a better explanation for you. You know, that's just something you would think that someone would have noticed.
How many residents?
And it was relayed.
How many residents were in this house?
Six.
So two out of six died at the scene, and how are the other four doing at this point?
I'm aware, at least that three of them have been discharged from the hospital. The fourth one may have been discharged as well, but I know the other three that had been previously discharged were doing fine.
Okay.
We're doing well.
All right. And that's another thing, because they weren't necessarily bedridden. If it did get to be 130 degrees, they were able to walk out on the porch or in the backyard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do believe at least one of them actually opened the window. one of the residents.
Yeah, that's I just, God bless them. That's hard to believe. And again, the owner of this business is not the, this is not just one facility that, that is it a man or a woman?
It's a couple.
It's a couple. Is it, they've got more than one facility, don't they?
They do. They have three that, that we know about in our area.
Have the, are the other two still running at this point?
As far as I know, we had some requests for some inspections to be done at those locations. And as far as I know, you know, I'm not aware of whether or not they've been shut down at this point. I don't believe they have.
But they immediately, when they saw the conditions of this one, they went out and checked the other two.
Yeah, we requested the fire department and the from the facilities regulator that they go out and inspect.
Okay, well, again, understand what CAVE is and understand that they are not a policing unit that runs around and shuts down violators. They are a consulting organization or group that's brought in to look at potentially tough situations and or prosecutable situations and advise from there. And I'm sure that CAVE, as far as this situation goes, they're the ones that stepped up and figured out what else was going on under this couple's ownership and leadership, and from there on, investigations were launched, I'm sure.
Right.
All right. Natalie, we appreciate you. By the way, can I ask you a political question real quick?
Sure.
Have you and your opponent in the DA's race debated?
No, we have not.
Are you open to that?
Absolutely. I would love to.
What's his problem?
I do not know. You know, we've had a couple of forums which were not, I mean, you know, just kind of question and answer stuff and nothing to respond to. But no debate at this point.
Well, I formally invite both of you to come here on the radio show. And if he's uncomfortable with me, and he might be because I think he's a total waste of time, I will remove myself from the room and let Mary Liz Nolan conduct the interview. I don't understand this young man. From all descriptions, comes from a pretty good family and, you know, has a background in church activities and everything, and all that's fine and good, but is woefully unqualified to be the chief prosecutor for the Augusta Judicial Circuit. By the way, I want to congratulate you for having the overwhelming, not just endorsement, but the full support of Sheriff Clay Whittle and Sheriff Alfonso Williams. I think that speaks volumes. And for that matter, I think it speaks volumes for your opponent, that he may have gotten some of the endorsements he's gotten. That it's very troubling.
I would agree.
Very troubling.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that.
Natalie, appreciate it. Thank you, dear.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.